Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And sometimes I coach listeners who call in live on the air. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month. Tonight is another live coaching hour. So we already have some callers in the queue, actually. So we're just going to jump right in and get started with some really great coaching here on Mark My Words. So first up on the line, we have Ashley from Montana, and Ashley's struggling a little bit with making a difficult choice that she's faced with in her life. So Ashley, welcome to Mark My Words.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly, certainly, my pleasure. So so tell me a little bit about this choice that you're looking to make.
Yeah, so to make it concise, I guess, I have a new daughter, and she has been my teacher already in so many ways. And one of the things that one of the big changes that she prompted me to do in the last several months was to leave the job that I had for several years that was kind of my sustainability job and pursue my own passion work that I had just been letting sit on the sidelines and not really grow. So that was 3 months ago, and pretty much right away after quitting that job, I was approached by an institute for another job. And I just thought I would go through the interview process and use it. I was flattered, and it would be a great job, but I just kind of thought maybe this is the wrong time for it. But the more it's gone on, the more I am really interested in taking it. And I just got an offer from them last week, and it's financially it would be a really good move for me. But I feel like if I take it, I'm kind of failing at my other work that I've been trying to get going. So I can't decide which to do. I feel like I'm trading off passion for security, kind of.
Sure. So tell me a little bit, what do you feel as you think about this decision? What emotions come up for you?
I feel a little panicky.
Okay.
Like I'm not going to make the right choice. I feel a little sad thinking about leaving the passion work that I have been doing, which is a lot of coaching and facilitation work. I feel kind of scared about, at the same time that I'm sad about leaving it, I'm also a little bit scared to stay in it because it's not certain and it's not a cushy job yet.
Sure.
And so there's that. And then when I think about, taking this other job, I feel a little bit like, okay, let's like find energy from somewhere in my life right now because I'm going to have to put a lot of it into this job to do a good job with it. And I feel pretty tired and depleted in just the new momdom. Thinking about going back to a full-time job and working, even though it would be great payoff, feels a little bit exhausting to me, and I'm not even doing it yet.
Sure.
Yeah.
So let me just reflect back to you some stuff that I'm hearing you say. I'm hearing you say that you're scared, anxious, sad, tired, depleted, exhausted.
Yep.
How does it feel to hear that back?
I just shook my head hearing you say it on the phone. It makes me feel still a little bit even more sad to hear that, because it's definitely not where I want to be right now. But I feel like I'm just in a place where, postpartum was really difficult for me hormonally, and just getting my feet back underneath me and learning who I am as a mom. Like, it's a big life change. And so it's tough, because I just feel like I'm not really where I want to be in my life right now. And so hearing you say all those things, it's like, yeah, that's how I feel thinking about this decision, but it's totally how I'm feeling about life right now. Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, you're feeling that way. You're faced with a very, very tough choice, right? So your feelings certainly make sense. And on top of that, with, you know, doing all the wonderful things that hormones do shortly after you have a baby, that just doesn't make it any easier, does it?
Right. No, you know? Definitely not.
So the first thing that you just want to know, and I always tell people this when I'm coaching them, and it's the absolute truth, and that is your feelings are completely normal. Given what you're going through, and again, on top of the hormonal imbalances that are going wild, it makes total and complete sense. And you're normal for feeling what you're feeling. So, certainly. You know, and kind of let them wash over you. Just, you know, the emotions are there for a reason. They serve some kind of purpose. It's like, you know, let them wash over you. So tell me, what was the, when did you leave your previous job?
In March,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were just recently made this offer, and you have to make this decision pretty soon?
Yeah, by tomorrow, actually.
Oh, goodness, by tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
So this is great timing, yeah.
Cool, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So, Ashley, if you were to have a really big surprise result from our conversation, what would that be?
I would get off the phone feeling 100% sure about what the right decision is.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we'll aim.
Okay.
And we'll see what comes up. And at the very least, I think we'll have you in touch with at least some more information that's valuable for you to make the decision, information that will
That'd
come from within you, really more than from me, because I don't have any information for you.
Perfect.
So, but you have all the answers you need, and which is my coaching philosophy. So we're going to find some of those. All
okay.
Right?
I love that. Yeah.
So great. So you said a few moments ago, Ashley, that your life isn't where you want it to be. So tell me, what would your life look like right now if it was where you wanted it to be?
That's a good question. I think I would just feel a little bit more on top of things, like a little bit more, and I'm going to the emotional side of it, like a little bit more free and a little bit more abundant. When we got pregnant, we didn't choose to get pregnant, and I fully recognize that it was such a gift to be able to do that. And so we decided to have our kid, and I would never go back on that ever at all. Because I think she's fabulous, but it's just, I feel really clunky and stuck in my life. So I would love, to be able to find some more me time. I have a lot of back pain right now too, that I would love to just have that go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're living in a spot right now that is our second home. We typically split the years half in Montana and half somewhere else by the water. And I really would like to be more on the water all year long. And I want to have work that fuels me. I think my last job was a great job, but it depleted me. And so work would kind of deplete me. And then outside of work, I would do all these other things to fill me back up. And I would love to find work that fills me up. Like that, I think would allow so much other stuff to come to fruition if I had that one thing.
Great. So you said, initially you said, that if your life was where you wanted to be, you'd be feeling free. And I forgot, you used another word. Do you remember what it was?
free and abundant, I think was the other
free
word.
Free, abundant, right, great.
Yeah.
So free, abundant, and filled up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I want to look at each of those words for a minute. What does free mean to you?
Free, that's a great question. Free, I think, would be a little bit more just like a lightness of being, not so bogged down in details or, you know, stuck in responsibility. Not that I'm shirking responsibility, but like stuck in, like, when's my daughter need to eat the next time and the nap schedule and the whole thing, you know?
Right.
Just a little bit more lighter. I feel like now I don't mind, you know, schedules and obligations and things like that, but they're getting in the, they're just making me feel really bogged down and heavy in life.
Gotcha. So
yeah.
Lighter in your being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then the second thing that you said after free was abundance.
Abundance. Yeah.
So tell me what abundant means to you.
Yeah, abundance is something I've been thinking about a lot in the last couple of years because I know that I have, it's kind of a trigger for me. The opposite of abundance, I think, would be scarcity, and I fear that a lot. And so I find myself sometimes making decisions based on that and not naturally feeling that I'm in a state of abundance and making a place from there. So just I think it would almost be like trusting that the universe is giving me what I need to not just to survive, but to live a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But not excessive. Great. That's the opposite, I think, of that.
Yep. So how, trusting the universe that you have what you need and it will provide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. And then you said also filled up, like having a career, a job that would fill you up. So tell me what you mean by a job that would fill you up.
I think it's just that, kind of like what I was saying earlier, it's work that gives me energy versus work that takes energy away. Like I leave the house and right now I feel like it's, you know, I want to be around my daughter. And so when I leave, it's for something that I'm really excited, or I want it to be for something that I'm really excited about. Not like, oh, okay, I've got to go do this work in order to make ends meet.
mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. So lighter in your being, energized, and trusting that the universe will provide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you also said before that you want to make the right choice.
Yeah.
So I'm presuming that that's what you mean by the right choice, is the choice that will lead you to feeling those things.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Great. Great. So I want to ask you to do something. Are you somewhere where you can stand up?
Yes.
Okay. This is going to be a physical thing that I want you to do.
Okay.
So,
got it. Standing.
Great. And by the way, what's the dream passion job that you're choosing this offer in place of, if you did?
It's coaching work, coaching and facilitation work. I've started doing corporate retreats. So, It's
great.
It's actually the work, and I love it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Good. So here's what I want you to do, Ashley. I want you to just kind of stand in the middle of the room that you're in.
Okay.
And close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And just take three deep, full breaths. And just get into your body. Just relax yourself from head to toe. Stress of the day go. And for all the listeners out there, actually, if any of you are also having difficulty making a choice and you want some more insight, you can actually work along with me as well. So just take a deep breath, let it all go. And I want you to imagine that in front of you to your left, in a space on the floor that's just one step. So if you were to take one step forward and to the left, you'd be standing, but don't do it yet, you'd be standing in the career that is the job offer that you received. And one step forward and to the right lives your dream career of coaching and facilitation. And what I'd like you to do is take a deep breath again. And I want you to take one step forward and to the left into the career that you would be in if you were to accept the job offer.
Okay.
And stand there. And just observe, what are you feeling? What emotions come up? Just observe them. I'll ask you to share them later, but just make a mental note of them for now. What emotions come up? What thoughts come to your mind? What other information do you seem to be aware of just intuitively? What's your body doing? If you can make a mental note of your body position and posture. Notice the pace of your breathing. Stay there for a few more seconds observing that. Okay, now go ahead and take a step backward and to the right, back into the neutral zone, keeping your eyes closed. And staying relaxed, and just shake it off. So shake your arms, stand on one leg and shake the other one, and then switch, stand on the other leg and shake the first one. Shake it all out, and get neutral. Take three deep breaths. Okay. Now what I'd like you to do, Ashley, is keeping your eyes closed, take a step forward and to the right into your facilitation and coaching career. And just stand there. And just make a note for yourself in your mind of what thoughts come to you. How does it feel? What emotions come up for you? What other information do you seem to kind of just download intuitively? What do you see? What's your body doing? What's your body posture? And just stand there for a few more seconds and let that wash over you. Okay, and now take a step back, neutral, back to your original spot. Open your eyes and take a deep breath and come back.
Woo-wee.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Tell me what you experienced. That was interesting. So tell me what shows up for you.
Well, okay, so I stepped to the left, which is into the career, and immediately felt like there was scaffolding around me, or like plywood kind of just blocking me, like holding me in place. And I saw the color gray, and I felt a really, like a pressure kind of on my chest and really light breathing. Like I wasn't breathing deeply very much. And that was it. Like there was like, no, my brain wasn't going. There was no thought really. That was it. It was all kind of body cues. And then when I went to the right, my brain was like, bubbing, and just started like running with all this stuff. And the first difference I noticed was I felt like I stepped, like I saw scenery around me, and I felt lighter in my chest and taller. And I kind of sat with that for a little bit and I noticed, just felt relaxed and happy. Like I was smiling. And then my brain started running with, how are you going to tell them that you're not accepting the offer? Is this the right choice? I can't believe you're passing up that much money. So it just went and went and went. But, yep. But before it went there, I mean, I felt like, I don't know, like I felt, awake, and I didn't feel awake in the other spot. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. So, I don't know, my intuition is just calling me to ask you this. How familiar is the feeling to you that you feel the things that you felt when you were standing forward and to the right. And then your mind ticks in and makes you start doubting yourself. How familiar is that to you throughout your life?
I think, you know, both of those feelings are pretty familiar. For me, a lot of the time, I think kind of the way my mode of operation has, especially with jobs, has been to show up and execute what somebody else wants me to do. That's just the way that I know that I'm doing a good job and I can get those things done and that's it. So I think for me, when I go, try to start anything new on my own, like even something like learning how to paint, you know, or playing the violin or whatever. I mean, those are things I'll get into and then I kind of self-judge and back out and don't finish. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where does the notion that showing up, doing what someone else wants you to do, makes you safe and secure, where does that notion come from?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's just like since I was a kiddo. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was expected in our family that you get straight A's, you do what you're supposed to do, you follow the rules, on. And it's just gone from there. And then I was a ballet dancer for a really long time. And so, you know, there's a lot of you execute, you do what you're told. And that, I think, kind of put it from more in a mental space to also in my body. So it's deep in me, both mentally and physically, to act like that. But I feel like in the last several years, yes, please.
I'm just noticing how in touch you are physically with your body, and it makes sense because of dancing, right? But I'm just noticing as you speak, right? You get very easily in touch with your body, where you're feeling things in your body, what your body's experiencing. So, not sure where I'm going with that, but it's just an observation. So somehow that may serve you in decision making, is, you know, how do things feel in your body. So I want to go back for a second to the two experiences you had when you stepped forward into the left and then forward into the right. As you think about those two, that whole experience, right, and what stands out for you, what insight does that give you?
I mean, if I think about it like a dancer, the career option feels rigid and the other option feels expressive. Like it feels like, oh yeah, okay, I can like dance how I'm supposed to dance over here, like full expansive, move through the space, all that. And then the other one feels kind of, I mean, like I said, I felt like I was in scaffolding. Like I didn't feel like I could move really. Yeah.
So which one feels like a more of a dance for you?
The passion work, for sure. And my own stuff. And I think it's just like, it's good to say that out loud. It's what I noticed about myself when I was standing in that space is what I always do, which is just to show up and then, like I said, my brain kicks in and kind of I talk myself out of it. When I'm discussing with other people, like I have been over the last little while, about what to do, you know, it's hard for me to say, this is what I want to do, is this work over here, out loud. Because it's like, if I commit to it and then if I fail at that work or I can't, you know, support myself with that work, I think that's the thing that kind of scares me and why this other job has felt so good.
Sorry to interrupt, but that makes total sense.
That's fine.
Right,
yeah.
That makes total sense. So I feel like, tell me how willing you'd be to do this. I feel like I want to give you permission to say what you truly want, knowing that it doesn't have to commit you to doing it. You just get to say it for the purpose of getting to say it. How would that feel?
Sure.
So
you're not committing to it, right?
Yeah.
You can still make whatever choice you want, right? So kind of get in that space and tell me, tell the world, what it is you truly want.
Yeah. I mean, I truly want to have the time and the energy to put into my own business, not somebody else's. Because I feel like at this point in my life, I value my time, and I like being able to choose where to put it. and that hasn't always been the case for me. So I feel kind of like, I feel like I'll be a little bit hijacked almost, because I'm just getting momentum with my business. And it feels like if I go and do something else, it's just, I'm going to be transferring all my good energy that I could put into my own thing into somebody else's. It feels good.
What do you feel right now?
Well, it feels a little bit heavy just because I'm like, there's a big part of me that is thinking
about my
daughter.
Wait, actually, something changed with your audio. I don't know if you moved different things in your mic, but you're a little muffled.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yeah, that's a little better. Great. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead. What do you
No, that's
right
fine.
Now?
Thanks for saying something. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit heavy just because I think about my daughter through this, and that it would be really nice to take this other job just for the long-term financial stability that it would give us. And that's something I didn't really have in my family growing up. And I feel like it has really affected me in the way that I am in the world, to always be scared about there not being enough money. And so, you know, and I don't want her to have the same thing. And so I think about what I could do even in just a year or 2 years at this other job, and to be able to build up my resources a little bit more would feel a really good way to serve my family. But then I think, well, I would do that and I would be kind of a shell, I think. Who's to know? I don't know for sure, but my gut is telling me that I would end up being a bit of a shell and not emotionally available in the way I want to my husband or my daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'd have the finances handled, but your emotional availability would be limited, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. I mean, I think, right? And who's to know, because I'm not in the job, but
right,
that's like my past experiences of work kind of playing out.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Making an assumption.
Yeah, sure. So let me ask you this. What are the top 5 things you value? What are your top 5 values?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can put them in priority order from the most important one to you, what would they be?
Sure. I would say, family. I'm going to just put that all right now.
Mm-hmm.
Family, freedom, creativity, and it was creativity dash expression, I think. Purpose and passion, and then I would say probably, I mean, I want to say security, but that's in there because I'm scared. So I kind of want to kick it out of the value list, you know? But it would be.
Okay.
I mean, it's got a lot of weight to it. Security has a lot of weight to it.
So here's what I'm hearing. And since you've been trained as a coach yourself, I know that you'll relate to this. So just like there are fear-based choices and conscious choices, there are fear-based and conscious values as well.
Right. Okay.
Right? So which of the values that you listed would you say are conscious and which are fear-based?
I'd say that they are almost all conscious except for the security one.
Okay. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. And did you give those to me in priority order from the most valuable to the least?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Family, freedom, creativity, expression, purpose and passion.
Purpose and passion. Yeah.
And then security.
Yep.
Okay. So, which of those values would taking the job offer play to?
family, and maybe even freedom in a way, because of the way that the job is set up and the resources it would allow me to have could be a tool to freedom, but not passion and not expression.
Okay. What do you, so when you say freedom as a value, what is that, what do you mean by freedom?
Freedom, I would say more like, this is good that you're making me define these things. It's similar to that lightness of being that we talked about earlier.
Okay. And the job offer plays to that one?
I think it kind of, I think it could. I want to give it the benefit of the doubt that it could. Because I feel like if I am working with this job, I would have office hours, I would be working, and then I'd leave. And I could come home and just focus on my family and my daughter and have room to move. I would know when I'm working and know when I'm not. And right now, that's not really the case, which I need to work on. So,
at which value does the pursuing your coaching and facilitating business play to?
The biggest is that it plays to the passion. I think it also plays to creativity and expression. Those are kind of tied up there. It plays to freedom. I think it plays to that too. I think it plays to my family and that I get to show up for them in the way that I want, kind of. Although I hope that I'm able to eventually grow my business so that I can provide for them better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great. So
yeah.
I've been
so kind of, all
kind
of
mapping this out on paper. Mapping this out on paper as you're saying. And so here's what I see. If I list them down from top to bottom, family, freedom, creativity and expression, purpose and passion, and security, right?
Yeah.
The job offer plays first to family and second to freedom. That's the order in which you said that the job offer plays to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when I asked which ones the pursuing your facilitation and coaching career plays to, the first two that you said were the first was purpose and passion, and second was creativity and expression. And then you also said family as the third one.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you see in that? What does that say to you? And again, none of this provides you with a final answer. It just gives you more information. What does that give you?
Well, it actually makes me think that that you know, family's up there right now for me. I think because that's new to have family up there, and it's super important to me right now. But that's the one thing that makes me think of is that family made the list. I'm kind of like, huh. That's a new value for me.
Sure. Well, within the baby
thing,
in the midst, right, that makes complete sense.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is interesting is that the passion and the creative expression, when I say the other two things, well, when I think about those two things, I actually, like, feel them. I get really excited when I feel them. I don't know if they're more important to me than my family is right now, but family almost feels like an obligation.
Sure.
And so it feels like it's kind of like obligation. Oh, yeah, and there I am, down at, like, the third and fourth.
Gotcha. Okay.
Values. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, so what we've got then is that the pursuing the coaching and facilitation plays to values 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
The job offer plays to values 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we did the other exercise, you felt really free and light when you stepped forward into the right, into the facilitation and coaching career, and trapped in scaffolding when you stepped forward into the left, into the job offer. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
So what do I want to ask you about that? Well, let me start with, as you put those two things together, what does that What insider info does that give you that maybe you didn't have before?
Well, I feel like I have a tendency to, not even a tendency, that's the wrong way to start that. I feel like I'm just craving something that allows me to show up as 100% myself. And work has always been the trade-off for that, mm-hmm. for me. And so as I look at that, I'm like, you know, it just makes me feel, I think it's interesting that the things that lit me up were lower down on values. Like I judged them as less important than these other things that felt like they should come first. Mm-hmm. And it kind of bothered me in a way. Like I wish and I want to be able to create, like to just really be able to stand in my, I mean, not to sound super cheesy, but like to stand in my power, like, and not feel like I need to feel, like I'm getting power because somebody else gave me a job, you know? And I think I just get, what I feel like when I shake all this down, the only thing that's keeping me, or the only thing that's tripping me up right now and just being like, I'm just going to do my own thing. Thanks for the offer later is mm-hmm. just fear that I won't be able to grow that work. Which mm-hmm. means putting myself out there and saying that this is what I'm doing and sure. jumping in 100%.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm hearing is that you might be believing too, that you're not going to be able to make as much money in your facilitating and coaching career as you would in this job. And
yeah.
I would just invite you to challenge that belief as you think through this after we're done in a few moments. Think
yeah.
through that a little bit and challenge that. You
yep.
know, see what comes up for
great.
You.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's very possible you could make more. I don't know. But, you know, how much of a possibility is that?
I think it is. This whole thing has just been interesting because I've never had an offer as much as this was. And so it's making me, it opened my eyes. So like, wow, okay, mm-hmm. I could earn that much. And if I could earn that much, I'd love to earn that much doing something I love, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
not just taking a job to get that money. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, and if I can offer a little bit of an opinion here.
Please.
It just seems to make sense to me, too, that, you know, how do I want to put this? I think sometimes we reprioritize our values in our life because events
mm-hmm.
occur and
mm-hmm.
something else becomes more important
mm-hmm.
than it may have been before.
Mm-hmm.
Having a baby, particularly having your first baby,
yeah.
I would say probably ranks up there as one of those things, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
totally.
So it makes sense that family and freedom, which you didn't say this, but I feel like, so correct me if I'm wrong because I don't want to put words in your mouth,
sure.
That freedom, when you talk about it as one of your values, includes financial freedom.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that makes sense when you have a new baby to feed and take care of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yep.
I guess what I'm saying there, Ashley, is I don't want you to beat yourself up about that.
Yeah.
And I think that whatever choice you make, and I don't know what the right choice is for you, as you well know. and like I said, you know, you're probably not going to jump off the call with the answer, but certainly with more information. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever choice you can make, you're not married to for life as well.
Right.
You know, and
yep.
sometimes we have short-term priorities that readjust themselves.
Yeah, that's interesting,
you know,
to think about.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to make that.
No, I'm so glad you said that because I've actually been thinking a lot lately about my values and how they're shifting and whether or not that's going to stay like that for a long time or not. And it kind of scares
right.
me to think about my family being at the very, very top because I feel like,
yep.
again, I'm shuttling myself to the bottom and that's my pattern.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, you know, be gentle with yourself. And, you know, the interesting thing, too, is you said earlier that you weren't expecting the baby.
Right.
Right? So yep. It makes even more sense that your priorities would shift kind of by surprise.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And
yeah.
So, you know, trust yourself, be gentle with yourself, don't beat yourself up. And what if you reframe this whole thing rather than that there's a right choice and a wrong choice, that there's two choices, each of which give you two very different sets of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Great.
I like that. I'm writing this down. Thank you.
Cool. Great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would love to hear from you tomorrow or Tuesday after you've made the decision. I'd love to know what you decided to do and how you're feeling about it. So will you reach out to me and let me know?
For sure. Thank you so much. I appreciate this a lot.
You're very welcome, Ashley. My absolute pleasure. Best of luck to you, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All righty. You're welcome. Bye, Ashley.
Bye.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you know, fear-based choices and conscious choices, that's an important topic. You know, a fear-based choice is something that we make to avoid something bad happening. A conscious choice is made from a place of love, from a place of a kind of energy that helps us build in our lives and heal in our lives. And when we make conscious choices free of outside influences that are really inner-directed and driven from within, we're often much more satisfied. And sometimes it can be difficult to balance that against what look like the practical realities. So I'm sure Ashley's situation is not at all uncommon. So great. So thank you again, Ashley. And what I'm going to do now is just break quickly for a commercial break before we get to our second caller to talk about some of the exciting shows that are coming up here on the Life Coach Radio Network. So we'll be right back. So here on the Life Coach Radio Network, we've got several wonderful shows coming up, which actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to announce those at the end. What I'm going to talk about instead first is our sponsor and something else that I want to announce. So first of all, before I even talk about our sponsor, what I want to talk about is an exciting program that I've got coming up, and it's a training. So for those of you who are HR professionals or coaches, there's a wonderful tool that I use as a coach that really helps give my clients some insight into themselves, and it's called the CVI, the Core Values Index. And many of you who are listening now have taken the Core Values Index for free on my website. If you haven't, I invite you to go to my website and do that. So if you just go to markmywordsradio.com, and then on the tab at the top, just click the For Coaches Only and click on the CVI training to find out more about it. And you can also take the CVI for free on the website by clicking, actually on the homepage at markshawcoaching.com. You'll see it right there, and feel free to click on that. You'll get a really great report. I'm going to be leading a certification training via webinar Wednesday, August 26th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time for 3 hours, and a part two will be September 9th, 6:30 p.m. for 3 hours. And again, that's Eastern Time. So if that's something that interests you, I really invite you to join us. It's going to be very exciting, fun, engaging training, and certainly contact me if you have any further questions about it. Our sponsor is Audible.com, as you heard our executive producer mention at the beginning of the show. So Mark My Words is very happy to have Audible.com as a sponsor. They're a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you'll get one free audiobook and 1 month of the free trial of the service. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And there's two books that actually speak directly to tonight's topic that I found shortly before the show. One is Inside My Heart, Choosing to Live with Passion and Purpose by Robin McGraw. In the Inside My Heart audiobook, Robin McGraw speaks directly to the heart of every woman and challenges her to recognize and develop her unique role, leading to satisfaction with herself, her profession, her family, and anything else she might strive for. And then there's Perpetual Motivation, How to Light Your Fire and Keep It Burning in Your Career and Life, written and narrated by David Durand, where you can learn the formula for motivation that all great achievers use in their lives and see immediate results as you integrate the formula into your own life. So, back to the second half of our show, and we have Eric on the line from New York, and Eric is having a little bit of a challenge with some motivation in his life in pursuing his career. So, Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in to Mark My Words.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. You're welcome. Pleasure to have you. So, what's going on for you, Eric?
Oh, I'm stuck.
You're stuck.
Stuck in just a complacent pause, I think. Maybe I'm hoping to be coming out of a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just need some help getting back on track.
Okay. Midlife crisis. How old are you, Eric?
I'm going to be 40 in September.
Okay. That would be a midlife crisis. So, so great. So 40 in September, the big 4-0.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about being stuck. Tell us a little bit more about your profession and what being stuck in that feels like.
Sure. I'm a singer and a dancer. I've been singing since I was about 2. And, you know, when it all comes down to it, it's the only thing I know. But it's also the only thing that I really love to do and that, you know, I feel most alive doing and I connect with and identify with. Along the way, as with any, performer, I've done just about everything from wait tables to, you know, clean out rental cars, I think was one of my first jobs. And
a performer in New York who waits.
I know.
I'm shocked.
Crazy, you know. So I'm kind of in this place right now where, you know, I had a really rough year last year. I went away for a couple of years to work as a guest entertainer for cruise ships for a couple of different cruise lines.
Oh,
and while it was a great opportunity and, you know, the money was fantastic and I was performing, you know, just about every night, it made me become really isolated because, mm-hmm. you know, you're out in the middle of the ocean, there's limited contact, family and friends, and, you know, with New York City and as fast-paced and as small of a performance community, you know, if you go away for a long time, you can kind of get forgotten about. And so I just kind of went into this depression and got back and just kind of didn't know how to, you know, be an adult, you know. On the ship, mm-hmm. I had to, you know, I didn't have to worry about anything. If I was hungry, I went upstairs to eat or I ordered room service, you know. It's a beautiful room with 2 windows. I only had to be back on the ship at 4:30. You know, and, you know, I was performing, but I was also sort of watching my bank account fill up, too, because I didn't have any expenses. So when I got back to the city, you know, it was kind of this rude awakening. Circumstances in my life had changed. My best friend and I were no longer friends, and he had, you know, moved to L.A. My other best friend got married and moved, you know, to North Carolina. I was in a different apartment, so I came back to really a whole new set of circumstances and a whole new New York, and just really, it felt like starting over again.
Sure. How long were you away?
I was away for about 4 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. It was a long time, you know, it didn't seem like it, but it sure felt like a, you know, mm-hmm. even the city was different when I got back, you know, things just seemed different. So I've just been having a hard time adjusting. I've not been very social. I haven't sang in over a year. And the scariest thing to me is that with depression and anxiety, which I experience a lot of, comes this, I've gotten this like lack of interest in mm-hmm. performing, which I know cannot be my true feeling. I just think I'm in mm-hmm. such a space where I'm not able to get excited about it right now because it feels so far away.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so far
away. When you say it can't be your true feeling, what do you mean?
Because I have so much experience throughout my life performing, and I know that, you know, it's really I've often said that it's the only time I feel like completely alive is when I'm performing on stage. I know it's what I was born to do, and I love to do it. But I suffer from this, you know, this thing where when I'm working, I never think I'm going to be unemployed. And when I'm unemployed, I never think I'm going to get another job, which I'm sure, you know, lots of people identify with that. So I feel so far away from it now because I've not auditioned. I've not done anything. I've just kind of taken some time to wait tables and make a little money and just kind of chill out for a bit. But I am starting to get to the point at my restaurant where I'm not totally happy. You know, I appreciate my job and I enjoy the people, but I need to, you know, I need to grow.
Sure. Absolutely. So a couple of things. I just have to kind of tell you what's going on for me right now as I'm sitting here listening to you. I believe strongly that we are designed when we're born. It's kind of like we're designed. We're hardwired to contribute to the world in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that, and that's where I come from in my coaching. I certainly know that what I do as a coach, that is absolutely what I was designed and wired to do. And there is no doubt in me at all, because listeners might not know, I've known you a little bit over the years, before tonight. There's no doubt in my mind, and I've seen you perform, you know, in an off-Broadway show, and absolutely you were born to be on the stage and perform. And when you said that, when you said that's what I know I was born to do, and you said it so matter-of-factly, right? It's like I felt a little bit of watering in my eyes because it just rang so true. And then when you said, so here I am waiting tables, like I found my head shaking, no. Like, no, that's not what you need to be doing, right? So I'm getting that from you, right? I get that loud and clear about you. And I just wanted to first share that.
Thank you.
Certainly. So I also want to say, Eric, that being away from anywhere for 4 years will, of course, make things look different when you come back, no matter what's going on, right, to begin with. And then secondly, you know, you said your two closest friends aren't here anymore. So that makes me want to ask you, what's your social support network like right now? Local.
Well, that's a good question because right now I don't really do much. I work a lot. I work 5 days a week, and my shifts are, you know, 8 to 11 hours, you know.
Oh, my God, on your feet, waiting tables?
Yes. Luckily, we're busy, and the money's pretty good, and I actually enjoy being really busy, and it makes it go fast, but I also enjoy it. I feel like it does keep me kind of, you know, sharp and alert, you know, and, you know, I do like being busy. I love being busy. I totally just lost track. What was the question again?
That's okay. It was about your social support. I asked you about your social support network and what that's like locally.
Clearly, I have some focus issues. Along with that, that's a good question because for a while now, for a couple of years, I've also struggled from addiction and have dealt with like drug and alcohol addiction, and it's tough. I over the years have created a network of sober friends, but the oddest thing, and I think it was Einstein who said, the definition of insanity is, performing this or doing the same, continuing the same behavior, but expecting different results. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I go one bit further. I know what the solution is or what the solution can be, but I don't do it. You know, I know that I could probably call people for support, but for some reason right now, more than any other time in my life, I can't do it. I'm having such difficulty reaching out.
Okay. And that's normal when you're feeling depressed, anxious. You know, it's one of the, it is the most needed and the most difficult to do for many people in that situation. So, you know, again, that makes a lot of sense for me. Let me ask you for right now, if you were to have a really great outcome from our conversation, what will it be?
I mean, ideally, I want to get excited about performing, and I want to, you know, want to get out and get a job. You know, I, of course, suffer from, you know, self-esteem and, you know, and self-worth issues, which figure in heavily with all this, of course.
Sure.
You know, I'm totally a people pleaser. You know, I'm such an approval seeker. You know, I'm one of those who, you know, even at work and waiting tables, I just work hard. And, you know, if you need something, I'm there to do it for you. But I'm going to prove to you that I know what I'm doing, I enjoy what I'm doing, and I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets tiring. It gets really tiring to care about what everyone thinks and to worry about if I'm doing everything right. You know, I just live in that place of, you know, I guess, acceptance and approval, and it makes you really tired.
Sure, I hear you.
And I guess, I guess the outcome what I would like is to be inspired to and empowered to do what it is that I want to do, which is sing and perform and, you know, vocally get back in shape and, you know, sort of put myself out there, you know, get back on stage.
Okay. All right. So how long have you been off the ship and back in New York?
January 1st of last year was my first day back in New York City. So a year and a half.
Okay. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Good. I also want to check in on something that I think is really important. And that is, first of all, how long have you been clean and sober?
Right now I have about 50 days.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess what I want to check in on is how much does your situation, the depression, the anxiety that you described, how much do you feel that threatens or doesn't your clean and sober status?
Well, that's a good question. I feel like it can, if I allow it to be. I think that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I can only speak for myself. That's a choice. And the things that will allow me not to have a relapse or, you know, talk myself into a drink or a drug is just staying connected with sober friends, with, you know, my, you know, friends who are not necessarily sober, but, you know, are certainly not out there, you know, doing drugs or drinking. And just taking action, I find, taking action every day to connect with people, to sort of be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's for me, that's the answer for me.
Great. Are you in a recovery program?
I am. I go to 12-step meetings.
Great. Do you have a sponsor?
I do.
What do you with your sponsor?
Not as connected as I would like to be.
Okay. So I'm guessing that's probably a pretty important relationship to you right now.
Yeah. I've had some really, really good sponsors in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I just don't know my sponsor that well right now. And yeah, and there's no excuse. I just have, you know, again, it's hard to reach out and,
sure.
You know, it's, I haven't had that moment where I'm like, oh, okay, yes, this is why I need a sponsor. You know, right now I'm just acting as if, which is sort of one of the tenets of the, you know, the program that, you know, the 12-step program.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and, you know, it's, I know I'm accountable and I know it's my responsibility, but it's just proving really difficult.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, I get the feeling as you talk about being back in New York with so much has changed and your friends being away or having moved away, or getting married, that it's, I just get the sense of like you spinning head over heels, not sure where you're going to land.
Yeah.
So, you know, so of course it's hard to reach out. You don't know what direction to reach out to because every 5 seconds your direction changes.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that makes so much sense. So I sense a real strong lack of stability for you right now and a lack of familiarity, which is impacting you.
Yeah, I almost feel like as sometimes at work, I almost feel as if I'm like living someone else's life.
Yeah.
It's, I get this feeling every now and then of what am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And you know, it's interesting. You said you're acting as if, right? I know that's a 12-step term, but tell me what it actually means to you to act as if.
Well, to me, it means, you know, if I'm not inspired by something, act as if, or if I'm not at the level I want to be, you know, do everything that I would do if I were, you know, act the part. You know, I guess it sort of is, you know, like, it's like a fake it till you make it. You know, I think it's just by doing that you will, you know, I believe if anyone believes in something enough and you do it enough that, you know, it'll happen. That to me is probably what acting as if is. Once you start acting it, it will begin to materialize.
Sure. So it makes sense, Eric, as you use terms like acting as if and faking it till you make it, that you'd feel like you're living something other than your own life.
Yes.
Right. And not that you shouldn't do those things. It's just to help you understand the feeling that's coming along with it for now. You know, it makes sense. It makes sense. What would it take, Eric? And I'm only harping on this. You know, usually when I coach somebody, I ask them what direction they want to go in when they've shared several possibilities with me. But I'm being a little unorthodox here because what I'm really concerned about is the sobriety and you're maintaining that. I feel like that has to come first. Would you agree with that?
Of course, yeah. Because without that, I can't have anything else.
Okay, great. And you know that firsthand because you've been there.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah. Okay. So what would it take for you to reach out to your sponsor?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I only know that I don't want to, you know, escape and you know, drink or use. I guess I just don't know how to connect or how to have that kind of a relationship, I guess. I'm so used to having a boss-employee relationship, a, you know, stage manager-performer relationship where the roles are more defined. But with a sponsor, you know, a sponsor is really just another person who's been through what you are going through. You know, they're just there to sort of guide you through this, you know, 12-step program. So the lines are really gray. And, you know, there are as many different sort of sponsee relationships as there are sponsors and sponsees. And so I guess I probably just need to figure out what kind of a program I want to have and either work on that to make that a possibility with this sponsor or find a sponsor who also believes in the same sort of a program as I do.
Okay. So, great. Great. I want to say I love how aware you are, and I can hear the amazingly challenging and difficult recovery work that you've done. You're speaking. So good for you.
Thank you.
Certainly. So you're having trouble reaching out. You're not sure how the relationship's defined. So what got you to reach out to me to be coached tonight?
I don't know. I'm always pretty good at just sort of bouncing things off of people. I'm always, you know, always willing to, you know, take advice or just kind of, it's just nice to have someone to talk to. It's like, you know, I haven't done it for a while, but I do like these morning pages where I'll get up in the morning I'll make my coffee, and I cannot get online. I can't do anything until I've done 30 minutes of writing, and I'll just set the timer for 30 minutes and just write, stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that it's amazing what actually comes out when you just sit there and write. It's just stuff that comes out that you didn't realize was so important, you know, stuff from childhood, you know, current stuff, addiction, you know, friends, family. And what's amazing most about it is that putting it out
actually,
there.
Actually, Eric, let me yeah. back up for a second.
Yeah.
So I want to focus on something. What's different about reaching out to me like you did, which I'm glad that you did? What's different between reaching out to me and reaching out to your sponsor?
I think I know that you know what you're doing, you know what I mean? And it's your passion. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I guess I feel like, you know, what you do is definitely a passion and mm-hmm. is a skill that, you know, not everyone has, you know, the ability to sort of assess and to help individuals like myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I guess, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm really looking for is, how can we translate what it took for you to reach out to me, to reach mm-hmm. out to your sponsor? Because so what I hear you saying is, you know, there's a difference between somebody like me with some expertise and passion versus somebody who's just been through what you've been through, but they don't necessarily have, you know, training and whatnot. Although, by the same token, you said that you've had some amazing sponsors in the past.
Yeah.
And they certainly helped you get sober.
Yeah. And the big difference between them and my current sponsor is that I don't really know him. You know,
okay.
It was easier for me to pick up the phone to my sponsor, you know, a couple of years ago because we were such good friends and I knew him so well and we, you know, we thought alike, we had the same sense of humor. So that really was, you know, pretty easy. You know, we would laugh all the time and, you know.
How available is one of those folks to you?
They're a phone call away, probably. Well, they actually are. You know, I ran into my sponsor a couple months ago. You know, he's like, call if you need anything.
Okay. Call if you need anything. Good. All right. So, now, what is it that's holding you back from calling that one? What's really holding
that? I don't know. He's far away. I guess I kind of feel like, well, he's far away. He moved away to get married and, you know, has a full life of his own. But, you know, somehow saying that out loud right now, you know, I guess everyone sort of does, regardless of where they're at. I guess I just need to.
Including you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I just need to remember that I have these other resources too. I don't know. Sometimes I just forget about those things.
Absolutely. And I'm going to push you on that a little bit, and I'm going to say, if I may, can I push you?
Uh-huh.
Not just remember that you have them. Remembering it doesn't do you much good if you stop at remembering it. You got to
move. Right. Yeah.
Right?
Just to pick up the phone and just call.
Yeah. So how willing would you be to do that within the next 24 hours?
Very willing.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all, 10 being consider it done.
10.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So step one sounds like call him. And when will you do that?
Probably tomorrow morning.
Excellent. How would you feel about messaging me and letting me know that you did that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, great. All right, I'm making myself a note to look for that from you. So very good. And thanks for stepping up to that for yourself, because you deserve it.
Thank you.
You deserve it. You do. You have a gift to give the world, Eric. It's a gift of song. It's a gift of dance. And that's a, those two things are a vehicle for bringing so much joy into so many people's lives. And you got people waiting for you to deliver that.
Yeah.
And you've got plenty of evidence to know that the many people that you've delivered it to have thoroughly enjoyed it. And having been one of those people myself, I can say that.
Yeah. Well, I've been very lucky, you know, and I've had some great experiences. It's just so I've allowed myself to get so far from it that I, you know, there's a lot of doubt.
Absolutely.
I don't know
and so,
why.
And it's normal. Look, I'm kind of hearing that you're burned out a little bit.
I was. You know, I was burned out on that sort of area, for the cruise ships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really, really got burnt out on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So tell me, and again, I like I said, I think the sponsor thing and just, you know, getting connected with the 12-step program is of prime importance, but I also want to, I want to be able to provide something on the performing front as well. So what's something that you can do to begin to connect to performing? It doesn't have to be something as huge as going on a bunch of auditions in the next couple of weeks, right? You might not feel ready to do that, but what's some, or maybe you do, I don't know, you tell me, but what's some small step you can take towards reconnecting with your passion that, like you said yourself, and I agree with, you know you were born to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think first and foremost, the most simple thing I could do is go see a show.
Great.
I know that going to see a show or a performance always, always inspires me.
Mm.
You know, it's been hard managing my time with work and which nights I have off. And, you know, a lot of the time when I'm off, I'm just tired or, you know, resting.
You told me you work 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leaves 2 days a week.
Yeah, it does, and those 2 days would definitely be more widely spent by seeing a performance or two.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, how realistic is it for you to do that this within the next week?
It's very realistic. I mean, the great thing about New York, you know, you can go to TKTS and get a ticket at like 7 o'clock for a show and for a single person, a great seat. You know, there's no reason why I shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. It's, you know, it's right here.
Sure. And also there's services too, where, you know, for a $95 registration fee for the year, you get last minute ticket offers for $3 a ticket. And,
oh yeah.
You know, and sometimes you see the most amazing thing that becomes a Broadway hit. And sometimes you see a real piece of crap that you'll never get those 2 hours of your life back. But, hey, it was at least something enjoyable somewhat, right?
But I got to say, I've seen a lot of really bad things that have been, you know, more enlightening sometimes than the good stuff. Because, you know,
absolutely.
I know exactly what I don't want to do.
Yep. I remember I went to see some small show. I don't remember what it was. And I was sitting in the front row. It was a small theater. And I was so bored, I couldn't even pay attention. And it was dreadful. It was dreadful. So during intermission, I was tempted to just leave and not come back. But being a bit of a performer myself, you know, and all my singing, and I've been in, you know, some, you know, community theater and stuff like that, my heart is with the performers. And I said to myself, they're going to notice my empty seat because it's in the front. And that's going to be a distraction. So I sat there for the second half of the show more miserable than I was for the first half.
Yeah.
All because I wanted the actors to not feel bad. So.
I know.
But anyway. You know, it's when, you know, it's sort of a fellow performer. So I'm sure you can relate to that.
Of course.
But, you know, so you've got access as a performer yourself to all kinds of resources to be able to see shows, right? So, which is great. And I love how you said it inspires you when you see a show.
Oh, yeah. If I go see a Broadway show, if I don't cry at some point, you know, it's got to be a really horrible show.
Yeah.
I get emotional and, you know, inspired and excited and, you know, it just kind of gives me a little surge.
Yeah, great. So when's your next day off?
Tomorrow. I have Sunday and Monday off right now.
Great. So how ready are you to make a commitment that you're going to see a show tomorrow?
I would love to go see a show tomorrow.
Okay, great. I love that you would love to. Will you?
Yeah.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to doing that?
I'm very committed. I have plans with a friend, but he's got something to do at 6, and that's like the perfect time to go and, you know, get a ticket and or just go somewhere and buy a ticket at the door.
Great.
For that's anything, fun. For some sort of performance.
Mm-hmm. Great. Very good. So how about then after calling, while you're letting me know that you called your sponsor, also mm-hmm. call me to let me know that you saw a show and how you felt
about
it.
Yeah, that would be great.
So we got two action steps for you, calling your sponsor and going to see a show. What difference is that going to make for you to be doing both of those things in the next 24 hours, Eric?
It's probably going to make a big difference. You know, I've had things like this in the past when I finally get around to doing it. And I'm like, why, you know, always, of course, I'm like, why did I wait so long? Why did I not go do this? It's like going to the gym sometimes. You know, once I get there and I'm done, I'm like, why is it so hard to get here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just my mind, just I get in my own way.
Yeah, great. So what's the biggest insight you got from this conversation?
To just do it. As simple as that sounds, get out and, you know, just go do it instead of thinking about it.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Excellent, Eric. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to hearing from you and hearing the results of both of those actions. So,
For sure.
Keep me posted. Certainly, I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow when those two actions are done. And keep me posted in general.
Definitely. Yeah, I would love that.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for calling in tonight, Eric.
Thank you, Mark.
You're so welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So sometimes all we need is to just have somebody hold us accountable for doing what it is that we say that we want to do. That can make such a big difference. And that's one of the values of coaching is we get someone to hold us accountable. We get someone to hold us accountable. So we do need to end. I do see that there's a caller or two in the queue, and I'm sorry I won't be able to get to those callers. However, I do invite you, if you want to be coached or if you have a question, to contact me through the website and tell me that you called and waited on hold, and here was your question, and I'd be happy to get back with you. Or if you want to be coached on a future show, just go ahead and fill out the form at markmywordsradio.com for being coached on a future show. And before we end, I just want to announce a couple of the shows that are coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. So tomorrow night at 9 p.m., Exuding Confidence with Charissa Sebastian, Anna Papa, and Mandy Catherine. Join these three awesome coaches for a lively discussion on how to embody confidence in a way that makes you incredibly attractive to others. They also have a fabulous one-time offer to their women's one-day spa retreat for all their listeners. And then Wednesday at 12 noon, Think Tank, Confidence and Its Imposters. Confidence is a quality we all want plenty of, but what exactly is confidence? How do we acquire it? And what if what we think is confidence is actually an imposter? Join Jan Jaffe, Kathy Acino, and Charissa Sebastian again for today's discussion, or for Wednesday's discussion on confidence, tips for building it, and how it affects our lives. And then lastly, again, my CVI certification training, which I mentioned earlier, which you can find out about at markshawlcoaching.com or markmywordsradio.com and click on the For Coaches Only tab.
That about wraps it up for tonight, as I invite you to mark your words if you'd like. If you have feedback about the show, just go to markmywordsradio.com and scroll down to the feedback link. If you'd like to follow the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, just visit us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network and then click on the follow button. Also, visit our website at www.lifecoachradionetworks.com and learn about all of our networks. I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. You can listen to Mark My Words live on the first and third Sundays of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as listen to any previous show from my archives at markmywordsradio.com and on iTunes by searching Mark My Words. I look forward to speaking with you all again next time. Thank you for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.